91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. God bless you. Happy Tuesday to you. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Tuesday with me as we do this together, study the word of Almighty God. You're going to hear the sermon now. I just preached on Sunday. We just started a brand new book, the Book of Romans, pretty much verse by verse, but we're not going to take 6 months to get through this book. We're in the introduction today in the first 16 verses. We're going to highlight at one of the greatest, maybe the greatest verse ever, and that is the Apostle Paul saying, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone who believes." And there be the truth right there. The word for power is the word dunamis, where our word dynamite comes from. It's the dynamite of God. It's not my words. And it's not my words talking about his words. It's the message of the cross, like he would write to the church in Corinth. "For the message of the cross," or the preaching of the cross, "is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the dunamis, the power of God." It's the message of the cross. It's the whole package. The wages of sin is death. There comes some of it. I'm convicted. Men and brethren, what shall we do? But the gift, the free gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the message of the gospel. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's where the dynamite resides, in the message of the cross. "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." That's the message of the cross. This is part one. This will wrap up tomorrow. I invite you guys to church tomorrow night. We've just started the book of Galatians last week. We'll be in chapter 2 here tomorrow night, Wednesday night, 6 to 7. We would love to see you in God's house tomorrow. Here we go with part 1 of this message now, an introduction to the book of Romans. Links for the radio broadcast. You know, Island Community Church has a radio program. It's on 7:30 a.m. or 5:30 p.m. on 91.5 FM. And I'm teaching through the book of Revelation on there. We're in chapter 12. In Monday's program, we're going to see the devil finally kicked out of heaven. So that's where we're picking it up. That's where we will be Monday morning, 7:30 or 5:30 in the afternoon. And that program is brought to everyone here in the community by the good people here at Island Community Church. So thank you to everyone for your support. The church pays around $300 and something of that. The bill is $1,000 a month, and we do what we can. That probably is our greatest missionary outreach, other than feeding people that don't have any food, is getting the gospel out in our community. And thank you to everyone. If anyone ever feels led to give anything more than that, you can write that and just put radio offering on the bottom of that on a check, and just leave that in the offering plate. So, but for more info on that, there's like some QR codes and stuff on there. So everything's pretty much in there. So, okay, does everyone have one of these handouts for today? If you need one of these, please raise your hand. It's in the bulletin. It's got the introduction to Romans here today, scripture references.
Everyone's good. Let's glance at this here real quick. Romans, Paul's greatest work, is placed first among his 13 epistles in the New Testament. Third section down there, a key word, the righteousness of God. That's four words. The theme of Romans is found in chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. God offers the gift of his righteousness to everyone who comes to Christ by faith. And then key verses, Romans 1, 16 and 17, Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 25. So there's a good little intro. Sock away, keep that in your Bible. But looking forward to getting into this book here. I found this rather obscure quote from the great German theologian Martin Luther in 1516. He said, "This letter is truly the most important piece in the New Testament. It is purest gospel. It is well worth a Christian's while not only to memorize it word for word, but also to occupy himself with it daily, as though it were the daily bread of the soul. It is impossible to read or to meditate on this letter too much or too well. The more one deals with it, the more precious it becomes and the better it tastes. It tastes like honey to those who have eaten it." We read that in John says that in Revelation. Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, says the same thing. In the end of Martin Luther's intro to Romans, he says, "We find in this letter then the richest possible teaching about what a Christian should know, the meaning of law, gospel, sin, punishment, grace, faith, justice, Christ, God, good works, love, hope, and the cross." Here's a few more bits here on Romans. The book of Romans is one of the most profound books in existence. It has been appropriately termed the cathedral of the Christian faith. Its profound theology and impressive style was reason enough for it to be assigned the first place among all of the Pauline epistles. By the way, don't ever call me Pauline. It's what Larry Lamb calls me, Pauline. Now, the book of Romans was written from Corinth on Paul's third missionary journey, probably around 57 AD. Paul was writing to a predominantly Gentile audience, chapter 1, verse 13. His main concerns in writing the book of Romans were to educate the believers in the basic doctrines relating to salvation. That's chapters 1 through 8. To help them understand the unbelief of the Jews and how they benefited from the Jews' unbelief. That's chapters 9 through 11. He also explained general principles of the Christian life that he wanted them to be aware of and put into practice. That'll be chapters 12 through 15. So there's a pretty good introduction to this book. The Apostle Paul will address the questions, how can I be saved? What have I been saved from? What was my standing before God prior to being saved? What about the Jews and the nation of Israel? What's up with them? What's God's plan for them, if any? Will they ever be saved? And did we replace Israel as the apple of God's eye? I can answer that one right away. Not, but we'll get to that. We'll get to that in March when we get to chapter 11, April, planning for Easter, right? And lastly, God bless you, I need a guide and instruction on how to live right. Since I'm now a Christian, how am I supposed to live? All that and more in the book of Romans. So pull up a pew, because we're camping out here for quite some time. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, we praise you in this, your house here today. No better place to be than camped out here in the book of Romans. Let God be true, but every man a liar. Lord, we pray now, starting here today and in the coming weeks, that as your word gets proclaimed, that you will do an excellent work here through the preaching of your word. The message of the cross is the power of God to those who believe. That's your words, not mine. So we pray each and every week, starting here today, we pray for those that are going to hear this on the radio Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. We pray for those that are going to watch on YouTube. We pray for those on Facebook. We pray for those in the house right now. Do an awesome work through us. May the TNT of your word explode in us and in everyone here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Verse 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. All right, so better yet, instead of servant, would be the word slave. The Greek word doulos. Just like all the other Bible writers, James, Jude, Peter, a slave. And get the ideas of that old TV show Roots out of your head. That's not what this word here really. Slave is one who is in a permanent relationship of servitude to another. His will being altogether consumed by the will of the other. Just like you. I love that. Someone whose will is altogether consumed in the will of the other person. Look, you have to serve something or someone in your life. We'll learn as we go through this book that you and I used to serve sin. But you've been set free from sin. Funny, too, for set free is the word dikaios. It's the same word means justified. You've been justified from sin. Set free from sin. Matter of fact, these are your two choices regarding serving. You can either, there's only two chances. And the first chance is going to be far-reaching. You can either serve yourself or the devil. That's still in point number one. Serving yourself still is the same thing as point number one. Because if you serve yourself, Satan's got you pegged. He says skin for skin. All that a man has, he will give for his life. If you serve yourself, you're serving him. Because you'll never, never be able to stand at crunch time if you're going to serve yourself. If you're going to do anything to save your own hide, you'll never stand. Number two, you can now serve the one who has set you free. He set me free, yeah. He has set me free. You can serve the one who set you free from the bondage of sin. So in actuality, you are a slave. I hear that, I don't believe in God because there's slavery in the Bible. Yeah, that's right. There certainly is slavery in the Bible. And you're a slave too. You can either serve yourself or you can serve the one who has delivered you from sin and has set you free and has written your name in the book of life and he's taken you out of the muck. And he sets your feet upon the rock. It's your choice who you're going to serve. We have a track record of serving ourselves. How did that work out for you when you used to serve, me, myself, and I? You know what the Greek word for me is? Ego. I tried that for 30 years, and it never worked for me. And I know, should I say, can I get a witness in this house of how it used to be, B.C., when I used to serve myself? You got a whole world of people out here serving themselves, right? So we're looking at three things here in these first two verses, right? Owned, because instead of served, let's call it owned. You're owned. You're owned by him. He owns you. Praise God. Aren't you grateful for that? That's why he says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. How could it? He owns you.
He says, your name I have engraved on the palms of my hands. Jesus Christ owns you. You are his. So, owned, called, and separated. Separated like an egg for all you chefs out here. Right? Better that than how Curly Howard separates. You ever see him stuffing a turkey? He says, separate two eggs. He puts one here and puts one over there. That's not how separate here. You're separated under the gospel. He has set you over here, and everyone else in the world is over there. You're separated. Owned, called, separated, like the yolks from the whites. And he was called to be an apostle, called by Jesus, not called by men, not called by a church, not called during a church service. Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I call, or I ordained you. John 15, 16. You have been called too. God called you, and you responded to his call. Remember what you said? Let me refresh your memory. You said, that's me. That's me. That's me. He called you on your proverbial cell phone with the message, I love you. And you said, that's me. He's called you. God sent you a text. I love you was on the text. After he said, I love you, he says, meet me at the cross. That's where we will settle our business, because that's where it was settled anyway. It was all settled on the cross, where the Son of God died in your place. And yet the Bible says, as many as received him, to them he's given them the power or the authority or the right. You've got the right to become a child of God, just like everyone else. So, called. Third thing he says here, separated. Regarding himself, he means that when God called him and when Jesus became real to him, that Jesus was now going to be his reason for living. He was separated from everything and everyone else for the sole purpose of preaching Christ to the known world. Now, as for you regarding separation, let's make this personal. God says, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I think. He says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch. That's what my dad used to say to me. Don't touch that. And what would I do, right? Right? I'd pull a Moses, right? I look this way and that, right? He once said that with a lighter, with a car lighter and his old MG. He said, son, don't touch that lighter. Wait for him to go inside. You hear the sound of searing flesh. And I had a thumbprint of a cigarette lighter I think I had for 5 years carrying that around with me, right? He says, don't touch. Because he doesn't want us to get burned like that. That's all. He's just looking out over us. Do not touch. And look what he says. If you do this, then I'll do that. If you do this, then I'll do that. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. This is what the word church means. It means called the Greek word ekklesia. Klesis means to call. Ek means out of. The word church means called out ones. Called out of what? This evil world that we live in. Called out. So you've been separated as well. Not just the Apostle Paul, but you guys have all been separated as well. And this is why practicing sinners can't be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ. You've missed the whole point. You are not a practicing sinner any longer. You are a saint who sins. You're not a practicing sinner. You serve a new master now. You're a saint. And in this text, we're going to see that Paul was called to be an apostle. You too have been called to be a saint. To be a saint means to be, here we go again, set apart is what the Greek word hagiosmos means. It means, it's the Greek word for holy. It means set apart. Back to my point, as a Christian, you cannot live in deliberate sin any longer. You've missed the whole point. The whole point of being a Christian. Now, I don't mean to pick on them, but homosexuals say they want to feel like they belong, and they want family, and they want to be in church. And I completely understand the need and the desire for family. I really do, but you've missed the whole point. And that is, you and I can no longer live in sin anymore. We don't practice sin like practicing the tuba or practicing medicine or practicing law. You can't be a practicing sinner and be a member of the church in Jesus Christ. We don't do that anymore. That's why the Bible says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked." That's not us any longer. We're not practicing sinners any longer. Even Paul declared the same thing, which we're going to read when we get to chapter 6. He's going to say there, what shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin so that grace may abound? Or we could say, shall we continue to sin so that God will look good? Then he said, God forbid. How shall we who died, that's D-I-E-D, is how you spell that? How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? We still sin, but we're not practicing sinners. Big difference. So as we move forward here this morning, as much as Paul's been separated of the gospel and called to be an apostle, you too have been separated of the gospel and called to be saints. Called to be set apart and not to be part of this world, but just a pilgrim traveling through in the world, but not of the world. That's what you are now. You're a pilgrim. You're traveling through this evil world. In the world, but not of the world. So, you've been called to be a saint. A saint, by the way, is not someone that you pray to when you lose your wallet. Notice in that text where it says called to be saints, if you got a good Bible, notice how the words to be are in italics. If you guys have a good Bible, that means the translators added those words for clarity, called to be saints. What that really means, to take out those words to be, that is the question. Called saints. You are a saint. Back from the top. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated of the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Okay, here, meaning the Old Testament prophets foretold of this happening. The Bible is a book of prophecy, amongst other things, unlike any other book. 500 years B.C., the prophet Zechariah declared, he said, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, and he is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." That's Palm Sunday that this was fulfilled. Micah the prophet said this 700 years in advance, "But you, Bethlehem, though you are little among all the thousands in Judah, yet out of you is going to come forth to me the one to be ruler in all Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting." But can you imagine that? 700 years in advance that was written. God says, "My man, my deliverer, is going to come out of Bethlehem, and he's going to have no beginning." That's how you'll recognize him. That's what sets the Bible apart from everything else. Prophecy, telling you something that's going to happen before it happens. So you'll recognize the Messiah when he rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. You'll recognize the Messiah when he's born in Bethlehem. You'll recognize the Messiah when he suffers the death penalty for his people. You'll recognize the Messiah when you see him smitten by God and afflicted. So that's Zechariah, Micah, Daniel, Isaiah. You'll recognize the Messiah when the grave can't contain him, praise God. That's David, Psalm 16. By the way, that's 5 for 5. That's 5 for 5. Someone's just fulfilled 5 things written about him before it happened. The odds of that, according to that book, More Than a Carpenter by Josh McDowell, the odds of one person fulfilling 5 things written about him before it happens is 1 in 10 to the 27th power. That's like filling the entire state of Texas with silver dollars up to your knee. And one of those silver dollars having a red X on it. And someone drops that somewhere in the state of Texas. And you've got one chance to find that dollar. The odds of you finding a dollar with a red cross on it is the odds of one person fulfilling 5 things written about him before it happens. Those are pretty good odds, right? That's like hitting a Powerball every week of your life for 25 years. Man, oh man, they'd get tired of seeing you at the state there every Monday morning, wouldn't they? Oh, here comes old Elmer again. He's got his Powerball every week. Down to verse 3. Now concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, born of the seed of David, according to the flesh. So he's David's offspring on his mother's side. And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. So born of the seed of David, according to the flesh, that is, King David is his ancestor through his mother, even through his legal father, Joseph. And, it says, he's declared to be the Son of God with power. Greek word, dunamis, dynamite. He's declared to be the Son of God with dynamite. For instance, right? Lazarus, he says, come forth. Dynamite. Or he gets up and stops a hurricane and says, peace, be still. He's declared to be the Son of God with dynamite, with power. Jesus is born of the flesh, but declared to be what he already is and was, the Son of God. And catch this phrase, the Spirit of holiness. Do you see that? Declared to be the Son of God with dynamite according to the Spirit of holiness. You know what, all this bad doctrine out here and all the various stuff I hear and I've heard through the years amongst Christian circles, mainly charismatic and Pentecostal teachings, labeling different things. Maybe you've heard it before, a spirit of this or a spirit of that. I mean, these are some of the things I've heard, right? You have an eating spirit, a drinking spirit, a sexual spirit. You have a gambling spirit, a homosexual spirit, an adulterous spirit, etc., 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 ad nauseum. But you, as a Christian, you have a different spirit. You've got the Spirit of holiness on the inside of you. What can we say other than, look out, world! Look what spirit you have. Look at the spirit that possesses you. You want to talk about being possessed? You're possessed with the Spirit of holiness. Praise God. Not a drinking spirit, not a smoking spirit, not a lying spirit, not a gossiping spirit. You have the Spirit of holiness. Peter commands us, be holy as I am holy. So walk in all of your strength. Get a grasp and understand who you are in Jesus Christ. And what you possess, and who possesses you. Remember, he owns you, and...
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com.